My name is Nick Masick. We also have Lonnie Cox and Vital DeJuiced. Welcome back, guys.
What's up?
Big
up?
Week. We had a big week in football. It's getting to be crunch time for fantasy football for sure. So on today's show, we're going to talk about Colts surprises, of which there were several. The game of the year, potentially, so far at least. The German invasion. We had a couple overtime games that were very exciting. We're going to play over under again. I got some fun ones for you guys for over under, and I'd rather have Kaepernick than. But first, how we always start off the show, we're doing why your team sucks with Lonnie Cox. Lonnie, take it away.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another week of Why Your Team Sucks. We're going to have our first repeat offender of the season. We're going to head to Dallas through way of Green Bay. Dallas Cowboys, you've never had we're supposed to win a game more than you were supposed to win yesterday, but you never miss a chance to miss a chance. You had probably the greatest career game out of CeeDee Lamb, who at the beginning of the game was playing awful. You know, I think the stat line doesn't show that he really sold out Dak Prescott on that second interception of the game, just ran a terrible route and then makes up for it later, which I'm noticing is a little bit of a trend for CD this season. Maybe all of his career, is he this guy that just shows up at the end of games, but you kind of forget that the first three quarters kind of suck. Dak Prescott looked good in moments, but then looked very not good in moments. Dallas, I cannot wait to watch you lose in the first round of the playoffs. Everyone's like on the Dallas hype train. But we forget that you let Chicago score 30 points on you at home, but you scored 49, so it doesn't matter. You're just a lot worse of a team than your 6-3 record says. At this point, I wouldn't be sure that you would win against anyone. I would be very happy to see you in the playoffs if I was another team. you're good, but you suck.
I like it. That's if Dallas makes the playoffs, which we'll get into that. But yeah, that whole game was kind of, man, it didn't look great from Dallas's standpoint. And they still could have won. The Mike McCarthy call, what was it? It was just like the weird clock management or not going for it on fourth. What was the call? The Mike McCarthy.
It was 4th and 4, fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Going for it. Which I don't hate, but you blow it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was kind of a weird, I don't know. At the time, I remember I was scratching my head on it for some reason. I forget exactly what it was, but first repeat offender, Dallas Cowboys, who are still in a playoff position. But like realistically, that was a huge game for playoff implications because the Packers are now, I mean, they're technically two games back from the Cowboys, but they hold the tiebreaker now, right? The head-to-head is the first tiebreaker, I think. I'm not sure exactly how that's all going to play out, but that could come into play. That game could come into play when it comes to if the Packers make a push all of a sudden because they – are getting healthy at receiver and yeah, they look better. I mean, then, you know, they look better this game for sure. So if the Packers could make a little bit of a push, that game could have real serious implications in terms of knocking the Cowboys out of the playoff picture. Potentially. We'll see what happens. what else we got? That was a fun game to watch. So it was definitely exciting. Overtime. Yeah, I saw my favorite meme from probably NFL memes so far this week was Mike McCarthy finally did something to help the Packers win a close game. So that was just definitely good. What do we got here? The Colts, man. The Colts are that dominated the headlines this week. The whole Jeff Saturday hiring, he was already on the staff. I didn't realize that. He was already a paid consultant by the Colts. So he was part of their staff. He was already on the, you know, payroll. But they brought him as the interim head coach. What did you guys think when you heard this initially? Bizarre?
I initially thought it was weird. And then I was really pissed when he decided to play Matt Ryan and messed up my whole QB pick this week. Like, I thought they said 2 weeks ago, Sam will be our starter for the rest of the season. That's what they said.
Yeah, things change though. That's
Saturday,
the rule.
Keep your word to as an organization. Think of us.
Think about our podcast competition for Vital, who's falling behind again. I pulled ahead. I think I'm ahead of you by like 3 points now.
I need DraftKings bad, man.
Yeah, you gotta hit on DraftKings tonight. That's the worst, though, when you feel the pressure of DraftKings. Then you're like, ooh. playing DraftKings.
Desperate.
Lonnie knows now, finally, this year, you're ahead. Like, when you're ahead, you can play loose. It feels better.
Oh, yeah. It's like basketball, baby. I'm just letting those threes fly.
Look at Lottie right now. He literally has a kitten on his shoulder. He's chilling. He's relaxing, dude.
Life's good right now.
I've got to button up. I'm stressed. I got to crunch the numbers, man.
Finally, Lonnie got DraftKings right, too. You named the cat, Lonnie named the cat. What's her name this week?
Fancy, after the Reba McEntire song.
Oh,
she is so cute. Not Fancy after the Iggy Azalea song.
Iggy Azalea song, great. Which I realized... Someone pointed out to me today, and I would never do that.
That's an important clarification, I think. Yeah. So she is so cute, man. All right, what else we got? So the Jeff Saturday hiring, super weird, like no coaching experience, but he's a guy. He came in, he said he was like, he cares about the team, right? He's invested in this team. He's like passionate about winning. And then he brought Matt Ryan back on, and then they had a good game. Jonathan Taylor, finally, you must have liked that at least. Oh, you lost anyway, though, didn't you?
I mean, yeah, I lost because Kirk exploded for his face in a losing effort in Jacksonville. I can't get a break, bro.
Your team is, it's not doing great. But you know, fantasy managers have to be happy, at least I think, with the Jonathan Taylor and having Matt Ryan back at the helm seems like it's better. They beat the Raiders, which let's not get too excited about that. They barely beat the Raiders. So, I still don't think they're a great team, but the whole Jeff Saturday, this brings up an interesting question. Like there's two different styles of coaches. There's X and O coaches, guys who are just like these brilliant football minds. And then there's like figurehead coaches who are more like leaders of men, and they put the right pieces in the right places, and they're just good with people and guiding a team, because there's a lot to manage with a team. Let's be honest, there's, you know, a lot of players, a lot of coaches, a lot of personnel. What, and there's success for all these different coaches. There's all these different, both styles of coaches. You have Mike Tomlin, who's been very successful. He's not like an X's and O's guy, right? And then you got Belichick, obviously, on the other side, who's been very successful, and he is very much a football mind. Do you think the trend of these leader type coaches versus the X's and O's geniuses is going away? Certainly seems like
No, I mean, what I think that's important, an important aspect, and this is across all sports, right? So one thing that we don't take into account is that not everyone in sports knows what they're doing to a certain degree, right? Like we give them their credit. Like, yes, they know the game, they know the X's and O's, but they don't necessarily know what it takes to win a championship. Jeff Saturday has been on two championship winning programs at different times, right? He won championships with the Indianapolis Colts, and he won a championship with the Green Bay Packers. Like, he has been in two championship organizations. He knows what it takes to win the Super Bowl. Does Frank Reich know what it takes to win a Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't know his record. But, like, I think what Jim Irsay is seeing is, like, listen, this guy has been around. The people love him. He's smart. He knows football. And he's got the championship pedigree. You know, Belichick, like, he came with championship pedigree. Like, these guys that know what they're doing, I think, have a certain value to a point where, like, yes, X's and O's are great, leader of men, great. But if you don't know what it takes to win a Super Bowl, I've always questioned those hires. If I'm like, I don't necessarily, and then those guys don't always work out either. You know, Joe Philbin comes to mind. He won a Super Bowl with the Packers. Like, he came to Miami, they didn't do anything, you know? Right. But I always, like, when I saw Jeff Saturday, I was like, okay, like, Do I love the fact that he's never coached at any level? No, but the guy's been around championship football.
He has coached apparently in high school, I think. High school football. High school. But yeah, right. Sure. And you see those hires, but he's also been an analyst for a long time. And sometimes those guys get a shot as coaches when they're really good at analyzing what's going on with teams. Like when they continually nail it, you know, like if we get really good at this, somebody might offer us a head coaching job. You never know. But yeah, I didn't hate it as much as like the media, the mainstream media seemed to, they were jumping all over. And I get there's a lot of probably qualified guys out there, but this is a guy who's in the organization and he cares about the organization. And I think that had as much to do with it. And granted, he was just hired as the interim head coach. So we'll come back to that.
But how much has he been in the organization? Like, to be fair,
I don't know
how much time he's spending in the facility every day. That's what Bill Cowher's point was. He's like, It's not fair that you're giving this job to somebody who's not in the building every day.
I think if you're just a person there, think of it as your job, Nick. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're there every day, you're under the boss, then the boss gets fired. You're really right there and some guy who comes in once a year.
Yeah, but for all those other reasons that Lonnie just listed off, it does make sense. And so for those, and it's not, yeah, it's not like he's not a football guy. It's not like he's not a member of the Colts family.
He was also a center, right? So a center is kind of like a catcher in baseball. Like they do understand the game in ways that other positions don't. Like centers have to understand, they know what the quarterback is thinking.
Yep.
They know what the offensive line is thinking. They know what the running back is thinking. It is not just like any other position in football. It is, I would say it's probably besides the quarterback, maybe even more than the quarterback, the most complicated position.
Yeah.
Like the most intelligent guy on the field, I would say, is usually a center. If the center, I don't know if you've ever been watching a game, but if a center gets hurt, it is a gigantic deal.
It's huge. Yeah.
To your point, I agree with everything you're saying, except if I remember Peyton Manning telling him he should just snap the ball. So, you know, like.
But you're not wrong. I mean, the center is a cerebral position. And not only offensively, they also understand a lot about what the defense is doing, too.
Sure. Like,
it is one of the more cerebral positions on the football field. So, yeah, he's always come across as being a very smart guy in terms of his analytics and stuff. So
I would say you have to be smart to be center. You can't be dumb. You're not a football dummy.
Right. Center. It's not a line up and do your job kind of situation. No.
This is understanding the entire offense.
Right. You have to think a lot and be connected with a lot of other people, you know, as well. So it's a lot. It's a very much like you're the center. You're the center of the team. You're the anchor. So it was interesting. And the best part was he tweeted last week, the Raiders looked terrible. And then he came and beat them. And then he tweeted again, I think today, the Raiders still look terrible. So the Raiders look god awful. That's a bad look, man. You don't want to lose to Jeff Saturday right after everybody shits on him for, for the hire. But we'll see what happens. He's still just the interim. He hasn't been named the full head coach. How about the game of the year, as it's been dubbed, the Vikings Bills overtime? This was hyped up. It was a very good game. I don't know if I'd say it's the game of the year. It was really good. It was very entertaining. Probably the catch of the year, the Justin Jefferson. Did you guys see him take this ball away? It looked like an interception for sure. And he made a bunch of really good catches. That I thought for sure was an interception. And then he came down with the ball. It was ridiculous.
He had some pretty decent runs after the catch too. I saw him stiff arm on that first play. I was like, from the first play, I was like, he's getting tested.
Yeah. It was good. It was a great game. I still don't think Josh Allen wasn't 100%. I don't think the Vikings are a better team than the Bills. If Josh Allen gets back to 100%.
Sure. But we did see that the Vikings are for real.
They're for real. For sure. They're for real. If you have a tiny chink in your armor, the Vikings can definitely beat anybody in the league. They are an any given Sunday team. They can go toe to toe with anybody. I wouldn't be shocked if that was a Super Bowl preview. As I was watching the game, I was thinking it's not a far-fetched Super Bowl preview right here that we could be watching. And boy, how lucky would we be if we get another one of those games?
That would be a great Super Bowl.
Yeah, it would be awesome. It'd be a lot of fun.
Two teams that have never won the Super Bowl in the Super Bowl. Oh, I would love that.
And both of them have lost the Super Bowl four times. Like, great. That would be great. all the storylines be great. And, you know, Stephon Diggs going to another team, they replace him with Justin Jefferson. How often does that work out? I was talking about that the other day too. Like, you're seeing AJ, we're going to see AJ Brown tonight. Like, the Titans didn't sign him, they didn't give him the money, whatever it was. And they tried to replace him with first rounder Treylon Burks. It's not, he's not AJ Brown.
Not yet. I mean, what, this is his rookie year, right?
It is still his rookie year, but he doesn't look like. But you got
a little bit of a quarterback is and like the situation.
Okay. Yeah, of course. But
in Minneapolis, they were lucky enough to be able to plug him kind of straight in. You know, he still has Kirk. He still has Cook. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That was a smooth transition.
And remember, there's also Adam Thielen. Like, Justin Jefferson's rookie year, Adam Thielen got a lot of looks. Like,
he had time to develop.
But it's also, he had a record-setting rookie year. You replaced Stephon Diggs with arguably the best receiver in the NFL. And Stephon Diggs was arguably the best receiver in the NFL at the time. So Stephon Diggs went and had a record-setting season himself in Buffalo. But he was replaced by a guy who set the rookie record, I think, for receiver. So anyway, it doesn't often work out. It doesn't always work out like that. It's hard to let a known commodity go in that way and then replace them right away. And boy, Justin Jefferson. So I love the storylines with those two teams. It's exciting. It's good stuff. I think they're both going to be fun and exciting to watch in the playoffs. Maybe not the favorites going in, but definitely in that second or third team, you know, hopeful for the Super Bowl. So what else we got? Christian Watson. We were talking about the Packers and Christian Watson. Talk about rookie receivers showing up big. He looks like he has arrived, man. He was wide open on a couple of those three touchdowns. Safe to say Christian Watson is Aaron Rodgers' new favorite toy.
I think he'll pick different weeks. I mean, he's great, but I don't know yet.
I think they're still going to spread it out a lot. But adding him to the mix with all the other guys. And, you know, we've been talking about it all year. He doesn't have his receivers. He hasn't had all his receivers healthy, and he's starting to get some healthy receivers. And the Packers, they could go on a run. If they get a bunch of healthy receivers that Aaron Rodgers trusts all of a sudden and he's able to sling it around. The running game has been great. Aaron Jones has been awesome all year. A.J. Dillon has also been a nice complimentary piece. So, again, it has a lot to do with the offensive line coming together. But they looked like they could, you know, could start putting it together. Can't count them out. Miami crushed the Browns. Vital, you want to talk about your Dolphins for a second?
Oh, finally. What's really clicked on that game that we really needed was the running game. I thought that Mostert was fantasy value would go down because Wilson was there, but it's only gone up, dude. Now they do actually have a running back in most backfield plays. They can get to a play action. It looks great. Ugh. They just steam through. The defense still has a couple of obvious holes in it, and I think we lost another edge tackler too, but I mean, everyone's
Ogba is hurt.
Yeah, man. He tore his pec or shoulder or something. Like,
something like that.
Really?
Well,
yeah, aside from that, Dolphins may look easy. We're top of the AFC East, and probably I think we're second in the AFC altogether. Yep. So second. It looks like the road to the Super Bowl might have to come through Miami, which is crazy to think about.
You're probably looking at least one home playoff game. Listen to this, though. This is wild. So, yeah, Miami, top of the division, second in the conference. If the playoffs started today, all four AFC East teams would be in the playoffs.
Wow.
Yes. The Patriots are sitting at 5-4. All four teams are right now in a position. You got the 6-3 Bills, the 6-3 Jets, and the 5-4 Patriots. Teams, go ahead. What were you going
to say? I was going to say, who would have thought all the AFC East needed to achieve greatness was Brady to leave? He was literally bullying this division so bad, no one could grow.
Well, you know, it has been, I've noticed, a lot easier to attract free agent talent to the AFC.
Yeah, since Brady left. No one wanted to come here because Brady was here.
Yeah, no one's like, really don't want to go lose to Brady. That sounds terrible. Let's go somewhere we can win.
Now look at this, dude. Yeah,
that is definitely a factor, I think. Obviously, they weren't great at the end. But yeah, it's so. All right, so all four AFC East teams, we could realistically see one or two AFC East matchups in the first round of the playoffs. It's going to be Going to be good. I like it. The teams nipping at the heels of AFC East contenders for playoff position are the Chargers, who just lost in a pretty tough game last night against the 49ers. They look good, even like as banged up as the Chargers are. They look good against what I think is a really good 49ers team. And then you got the Bengals, who are, you know, definitely coming on strong as well. So it's not going to be a cakewalk for the bottom of the AFC East, but certainly possible. It should be wild. Have we ever seen, I don't think it's ever happened, that couldn't have ever happened, that an entire division gets into the playoffs. At least not since probably the whatever pre-Super Bowl era, maybe. So yeah, that's pretty exciting stuff. Speaking of Brady, he had another good game in Germany. Bucks are starting to shape in, come up, you know, shape into form. They're back in the playoff. The division sucks.
That play where he went for that catch, dude. Oof. What's he doing? He almost tore his ACL. I was like, yo, what are you doing, bro?
I mean, can you imagine how, like, I'm sure the conversation after the fact was, why did you throw it? You know what I mean? Like, he shouldn't have thrown. Who was it who made the pass? Who was it, Fournette?
Yeah, it was Fournette who passed it.
Well, it was like, that's a conversation you go back with. If you're Brady and you see Fournette throw that ball, you're like, oh, this is going to be the worst meme ever.
Like, at least he didn't get hurt, man. As soon as he slipped, I was worried for him. Like, I was like,
ooh. I know. It was, oh, it was so bad. But like, just don't throw it unless he's wide open. Like, there can't be anybody within 10 yards of him. 20 yards is like, then you throw it.
That's the point of the play, dude. The point is, if you get a sneak off, yeah, that's a go ahead.
Oh, when he threw it, Brady was just like, God damn it. He's like, you could see the look on it, like, this is going to be the worst meme since the Super Bowl. Luckily, they won the game, which overshadowed the play. But that's all we would have seen if they had lost. But it was a good game. That was a big playoff implication kind of game, too, because the Seattle's right there. They're in the mix. They fall to 6-4, but they're still right there. And they didn't play bad. Seattle played pretty well. I think that could be another playoff matchup that we see. This is something that I found really interesting. Geno Smith, who's now in the MVP conversation, numbers have been great. He's been playing really well. Had no odds. There were the odds for MVP preseason were non-existent. Does that seem right to you? I feel like that's not right.
No, that makes sense. Come on, man. There's a lot of numbers to crunch. I would not. Everyone has to put their time in on Geno Smith. That's a lot.
You just can only consider so much. Nick. We're not. Yeah. We don't have our fingers in everything, you know.
Listen, hear me out. They have a lot of skill players, and he is the starting quarterback for an NFL football team.
We're talking about MVP. I know. It's not even like who's going to be an okay player. This jump is unprecedented. You know that.
It is pretty impressive.
Everyone thought he was just going to be a stopgap this year until they get a new replacement for Russell Wilson. He's just overshot a lot.
He has, for sure. But he also has first round pedigree. He's been in the league for 11 years. He's wow. been a backup.
It's really been 11 years.
Yeah, but that kind of story makes you lean towards not pulling in those numbers, because usually after 11 years, if you don't spark.
Okay, I know, but he was, as soon as this is my point. As soon as he gets named the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, and they've got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and you know they just drafted Kent. They got a good backfield. As soon as he is named the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, there should be some odds. I'm just saying, there should be some odds that come out. Long shot odds, but like that should be a thing.
All right, maybe they ran the numbers one time and there are too many zeros, bro. There's
the odds were for sure very long. Somebody would have, it makes me sad that nobody was able to capitalize on that, because
this is what it comes down to. You're degenerate gambling.
It might be true. You might be right. I didn't bet any preseason stuff this year though. All right. But I think there should be, if you are the starter for an NFL franchise for this season, there wasn't even a rookie behind him that you were like, oh, he might come in and blah, blah, blah. Like there was nobody. There was Drew Locke. Like we're handing the keys to Geno Smith. Give him some odds. He's going to be playing as a starter in the NFL for the whole season. Come on. All right. Going back to last Thursday, DeSean Jackson, we talked about him for a minute. He got hurt. He tweaked something. He's still probably going to be back next week, I believe. But he kind of looked like the number one receiver for the Ravens with Rashad Bateman out. He's definitely looked uncoverable one-on-one in that game. Do you guys think DeSean Jackson still got it? Obviously not maybe for an entire game. You're not going to run him down the up and down the field, but did he look like he still got it at 35?
Yeah, now we see what it is, though. Definitely not endurance things, but he should go definitely be out there for plays at a time, you know, special things, gadget plays. But yeah, obviously he has the speed still.
He's still got speed and quickness. Like, he burned a couple guys on routes, just his flat out route running. Like, cornerbacks, like, they didn't have any chance stopping him. Mm-hmm. So that was cool to see. 35 years old, DeSean Jackson still could be maybe the number one receiver because of an injury when he's on the field. Yeah, he's probably not going to play the whole game, but he's also always been known for really great conditioning. So I don't even know. We'll see how much that's fallen off, but you know, he's ready to go. And this is something I thought about too. We're getting to the part of the season where weather is starting to become a factor in some situations, in some games, in some places. Not that that's going to affect necessarily who you play in fantasy, except defenses. Are you starting to look at defenses and maybe even running backs that are on, if you're like tossing up between flexes, I guess quarterbacks too, potentially, if you're.
Yep. I'm going to tell you right now, don't make that mistake. Every position is up for review during a snowy game.
Oh yeah.
don't be fooled.
Yeah. You're right. Every position should be up for review. Maybe not the top tier running backs. I think those guys are, if anything,
they'll eat.
Yeah. No matter what in those spots, but I think especially with defenses, I'm going to start looking at that, start paying attention, like who's playing, where they playing, what's the weather for streaming defenses. So I like that. That's something to start looking at in fantasy. All right, let's play over under. We're going to talk about some of these topics that we covered.
Did we get our over unders from last week?
A lot of these over unders are like years. So like we're gonna have I'll try to keep track of them, but it's not something we're gonna be able to keep track of week to week necessarily. Some of them we will, but most of these are long-term projections that I just want to hear what you guys think on them. First over under, the number of years Geno Smith is a starter in the NFL. And this year counts as year one as a starter. So going forward, number of years continue, because he started for whatever. Not previously. Number of years more that Geno Smith starts for an NFL football team is named the starter preseason, primary starter for the season. This is year one. I'm setting the over-under at 2.5 years. So does he start for more than 2.5 more years, total years, including this year? You giving him 2 more years or no?
Yeah.
You're taking the over on that?
I believe it's 2 more years. 2 more years, including this season, totaling 3. Yeah, I'll give him 3.
You're going the over on that one. Mm-hmm. He's 11th year in the league. Lonnie, what do you think?
You know, it's interesting because you can totally see Geno as now establishing himself as a Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of guy, where it's like, we need somebody, let's bring him to Indianapolis, you know, let's bring him to Washington, let's bring him to Tennessee, let's bring him in. He's not going to be our guy forever, but will he, you know, get us a 9 and 8 year, or 10 and 7 year? Like, he's capable of that with a good team. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's a couple questions I'm asking myself now about Geno Smith. Number one is, how good is Geno Smith, right? Like, where has he been this entire time? Like, is this the guy that was like always kind of living in RG3's shadow, even in college? And, you know, this guy that didn't really ever have a good team in New York and got his jaw broken. And, you know, did he ever just kind of like fall on the wrong side? Also, like, how bad is Russell Wilson to now like be handed this team? Yes. Is Kenneth Walker, I think, a huge part of their offense now? Absolutely. But like, I could see Geno Smith playing in the NFL if he keeps playing the way he plays, stays healthy, runs the ball. I would take the over.
take the over on the 2.5. I like the over also. It's right there though. It's right. It's interesting because if he has next year, if he doesn't play great, you don't know. It is an interesting. It's a compelling question. He's big. He's fast, relatively fast. He's very athletic. He's got a strong arm. Like he can sling it. He can make the throws. And I think what we're seeing with him is like 11 years of being a backup, of learning NFL football, of learning different scenarios. He's just now, because he's always been this talent. And he came in with like this unbelievable athleticism. Like he was super athletic. So now you're seeing at 11 years in, the athleticism may have decreased a little bit, but he's still very athletic. And now he's got all the knowledge and the experience to go along with the ability. Years of practice, a number of times playing in situations, coming in as the backup. It's really an interesting scenario. I don't remember ever seeing anything quite like it before. And now Seattle's got a ton of draft capital too. Why not keep Geno Smith? So we always talk about like the winning formula for a team often is getting a really good QB on their rookie contract when you're not paying them very much and putting a lot of talent around them. Well, how about this as another winning formula? Potentially you get an older QB who's really good and has developed and is experienced and is not going to lose you the game. And then you put a lot of talent around them. I could see him staying. I could see Seattle sticking with him and just loading up on as much talent as they can afford while they're paying. Sure. Because you know they're not paying him a lot, right?
And also, you know, Nick, that's how the NFL used to look, right? The mm-hmm. NFL used to look exactly like that. Like you had these guys exactly like that were on their rookie contracts, but then there was also these guys that were like journeymen, you know, like Trent Dilfer, Garcia, mm-hmm. Jeff Garcia. Brad Johnson, like those guys went on to have very successful career. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl yep. in Tampa Bay. You know, Trent sure. Dilfer won a Super Bowl in Baltimore. Like yeah. these guys go on to win games. Like that's what the NFL didn't always used to be a quarterback's league. Right. So you used to have these guys that could come in, step in with great teams around them. Matt Hasselbeck, you know, mm-hmm. these guys that were like good enough, Jake Delhomme, but they weren't necessarily like the elite QBs in the league, but you could still win the Super Bowl with them.
Yeah,
absolutely. I would argue that Russell Wilson, when they won the Super Bowl the first time, wasn't the best quarterback in the league, sure. but he had a solid team around him, mm-hmm. and they ended up winning.
Yep. Roethlisberger's first year winning, not great.
But yeah, but that's on a rookie contract. I think maybe that's like what's going on now in Seattle is the pre-step to that rookie thing. I'm thinking of Seattle with the Chiefs, with Alex Smith, right before Patrick Mahomes comes there. They're building up the team. This is still a solid QB. They're getting the team solid, seeing what their gaps are. And then when they see someone who's just a star, I think they're going to, if they can get someone, yeah, of course. Sure. Make a real run.
Colin Kaepernick, same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Alex Smith keeps getting replaced with studs, but you know, if you're going to lose your job, like,
may as well be to somebody who's great. All right. That's a good, that's a fun over under. Okay. Next over under. This is this year. We'll try to remember this one. Number of AFC East teams that make the playoffs this year. Also setting the over under at 2.5.
Under.
You're going under? I think only two teams. Which two miss out? Jets and the Patriots. Vital, what do you think? Over, under?
I'm going to go with the under, too.
Same teams? Jets, Patriots?
Yeah, man. The Jets always let me down. Like, even when they're good. I just don't believe in Zach Wilson, and then they lost Hall. They're good still, but I don't know if they're going to be able to win out.
I like the over in this one. I think the Jets – I don't know which team. I think the Jets are the team that's going to sneak in over – I just think the Chargers are going to implode. And I don't see anybody else catching the Jets. I think they're going to win. Their defense.
I think the opposite, man. I think you're really? Going to see the Chargers get healthy. Keenan Allen comes back. Mike Williams comes back. You know, I think the opposite. The defense is starting to tighten up. You saw that last night. You know, Derwin James. Like, let's not forget Khalil Mack, Derwin James, Joey Bosa. Like, that defense is loaded with talent, and so is the offense. But I mean, you've got the number two fantasy player on their team right now, a great quarterback. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Carter, like one of the better receiving cores. I think you're seeing the Chargers trend up and the Jets trend down.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. It might, I mean, I don't know. It could be that the Patriots sneak in too. I feel like one of those teams, I think we're going to see three AFC East teams. I don't know. This is just a hunch that I have. All right. Number of years, Jeff Saturday coaches the Colts. The over under is, I'm going to say 1.5. This year counts as one. Is he going to be the coach next year or not? Does he have a starting job?
I'm going with the under on that. I don't think he's going to win much more because I think his problems are a little deeper than the coaching there. And okay. Then if he even into next season. So,
Lonnie, you think he'll be the name of the starting coach next season?
You know, I'm trying to think of like who's out there for head coaching jobs right now. You know, Bieniemy, I think, is still in Kansas City. They're looking at like Kellen Moore as a guy that I think whose name has been floating around. I'm trying to think of like.
Here's another factor, though, that I'll throw in here. How many of those guys want this job? Especially after watching what's transpired this year. I don't think there's a lot of high-end coaching candidates who are interested in going to Indianapolis and taking over that because it just looks like a mess right now. I'm sure some of them would want the job, but I think there's quite a few of those guys, those big name candidates who would be like, nah, I'd rather wait a year or go somewhere else. So what do you think? Over, under, yes, he gets it or no, he doesn't next year.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they'll give him at least next year. I think he'll do enough this year. And also I don't think there's going to be anybody that they're really excited about. I think they'll give him another year to try it out. All right, last one. You're gonna love this one. Giselle was spotted on a date in fucking Costa Rica or some shit. Number of dudes Giselle dates before Brady wins another Super Bowl. I'm setting the over, the over under at 4.
My over is going to be infinity.
Because he's never going to win another Super Bowl. Another. But, all right, I guess there's still a caveat. She could die before she dates 4 more guys. She could get married. Who knows? Lonnie?
I think she's at 3.5 already, if I'm being honest.
four dudes that Giselle dates over or under before Brady wins another Super Bowl.
Taking the over, just Brady never wins another Super Bowl.
I think Brady could.
Well, wait a minute. Brady could come back as a coach.
Okay.
Like, as a QB.
I'm saying as a QB. I think he could go to, I really think this could very well happen because he doesn't have any reason to not play anymore. I think he goes to San Francisco for 2 years and could very well win one with them. You put him on that team right now, I think they become the Super Bowl favorites. Or if you implement him in the offseason to that roster, potentially, definitely one of the favorites.
God, I love him in Dallas.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. So there, Odell Beckham supposedly is going to decide in the next couple of weeks, but Dallas is in the mix. The 49ers are also potentially on his list. There are some major injuries this week. I'll cover those real quick. Cooper Kupp went down with what looked really bad, but they don't think it's as bad. They haven't confirmed how bad Cooper Kupp's ankle injury is. That's a big fantasy blow to whoever has him. I just traded for him because I lost Jamar Chase. So that's great. Awesome for that team. I have the highest scoring team in that league. I'm now 3-7. Leonard Fournette, which actually makes me, I'm thinking about something I'm going to run by you guys at some point too. Leonard Fournette, minor injury. They think he might be back. It's like a day-to-day kind of thing. They're on a bye week, the Bucks are. Juju got a concussion. It looked kind of like the Jags were just like gunning for these receivers at one point. Like they kind of leveled a couple of their guys. Not MVS, Valdez-Scantling got knocked out at one point too. So Juju's on the iffy list for next week. He's got the concussion protocol. Jerry Jeudy got injured, minor sprain. Vital, this is like your whole team. Gerald Everett got hurt. Yeah, it was a rough week for you in fantasy. Zach Ertz is out, done for the rest of the season. He had a bad injury. I don't even know who their backup is. I don't know if they have a backup tight end. Maybe they'll bring Larry Fitzgerald back to play tight end. Khalil, that's basically what he did for the last couple of years anyway. Khalil Herbert, Bears running back, also got dinged up. He's a questionable. We got some interesting returns this coming week. Deshaun Watson was cleared for practice. He is not eligible. He's on an 11-game suspension, but this looks like if he's cleared for practice this week, that means probably he'll be eligible to play, I believe, as soon as week 12. Lonnie, you're sitting.
I think it's week 13.
Week 13, is it week 13?
I released him.
Oh, you dropped him. That's right. So he's going to be available. He's available in a lot.
Yeah, I released him. I don't need him. I got Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes' bye week is over. Like, I'm not. I don't need it.
Why are you going to sit on him? But there will be. I think this week you're going to see a mad scramble for Deshaun Watson for anybody who's had issues at quarterback. I think a lot of teams are going to be trying to get him. Matt Stafford was out this week with a concussion. He'll be back. That definitely helps any fantasy players on his team. But again, Kupp might be out for indefinitely. Jarvis Landry finally came back for the Saints. Saints looked anemic, though. This was surprising, sort of. Elijah Mitchell, I actually traded him away because he was coming off IR and I didn't really have anywhere to keep him. Traded him away to Lando, who has McCaffrey, so he's basically the handcuff. Elijah Mitchell's still got quite a bit of action. He actually scored like 10 points. Looks like they're still going to use Elijah Mitchell in San Francisco. So it's interesting. And then Randall Cobb's coming back probably for the Packers on Thursday, but not definitely. So Packers are starting to look like they're getting to the point where they might have the full complement of their weapons. Waivers. Rashad White looked good. He should be on the waiver wire radar. Julio Jones flashed some old Julio. Did you guys see that morning game at all? He looked like
he scored.
He had some juice. Yeah, he scored on a play that involved him running fast, not just being big and having good hands still. So that was, Julio's definitely on there. A couple other guys, running backs, very thin right now, but Jerick McKinnon had a decent game. Jaylen Warren for the Steelers looks like he's got a pretty significant, decent role on that team. Christian Watson obviously is going to be one of the top waiver pickups just because he had a huge week, which means he'll probably fall off next week. But no, he does look like he's a legit talent. Isaiah McKenzie's out there, maybe Devin Duvernay. If Cooper Kupp misses time, Van Jefferson and Tyler Higbee should both be grabbed off of waivers. And likewise, if Juju Smith-Schuster misses time, and even if he doesn't, maybe just because they're on a high-powered offense, Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Kadarius Toney, who you picked up last week, Lonnie, looked really good. And probably will get even more action if Juju's out. And then Dawson Knox is a guy, tight end, if you're looking for a tight end to fill in, he's maybe available. All right, now to the players we don't want on our teams. I'd rather have Kaepernick than. We picked the worst quarterback of the week. Last week, Vital picked Sam Ellinger and then Jeff Saturday got hired and decided to play Matt Ryan again. It's a bummer, but I think the way league rule or competition rules state, if it's not COVID, then we just roll. That's how it is. It's shit. Mm-hmm. Tough luck. So you got a zero. Obviously you got last play because he didn't start. PJ Walker, he gave me a nice 4.72. in a winning effort, which is weird. And then Lonnie got Davis Mills, 12.76, which is pretty much what Davis Mills has been doing. He's put you right
every game.
Every time. He's been right around 10, 11 points. He's usually been the second place and worst quarterback. So, Vital, you obviously get first pick. And we got some juicy picks this week. Zach Wilson coming back at New England. Matt Ryan presumably will play again against the Eagles. That's got disaster written all over it. I think Baker Mayfield has been named the starter at Baltimore again. That's got Baker getting beat up all over that one.
Can we just say though how awesome the Panthers uniforms were?
Oh yeah, they were so good.
Black.
It was the best. That they looked so good. That's why they won. I'm convinced. You can't, Well, now what I want to see is the Panthers in all black against the white out Bengals.
Oh, Bengals.
I hate the Bengals wideouts. They look like zebras. The Panthers will look like boos.
You didn't like them? Oh, no. I loved them. I thought they were so baller. I want to see that matchup. I don't know which one of those uniforms would win, but both teams looked really good when they wore those uniforms. I feel like it did add some juice. What else we got? Kenny Pickett against Cincinnati. Mac Jones against the Jets defense. I think that whole – we might have two quarterbacks from the same game at some here. I think we – because those both look like – that could just be an awful quarterback play game. Andy Dalton allegedly still going to start, but I'm starting to – he's one of those ones that I don't trust he's going to start anymore. At some point, I think they're going to throw Jameis Winston in, and it's probably going to be after we pick our worst quarterbacks. What else? Davis Mills against Washington. Carson Wentz is supposed to be back against Houston. Both those defenses are iffy. Derek Carr against Denver. What do you think? Vital, do you got one for us?
I think I'm going to go with Baker in Carolina. Baker. I think that's the go.
That is a
good. I know I think the Raiders got to get good. I think they're going to take it out. Wait, who are they playing? The Raiders, right?
Baker is playing Baltimore.
Okay, yeah. I know their secondary is not the best, but Baker's so inaccurate.
And the rest of their defense is pretty good, getting better, yeah. I think. Be curious to see what the weather looks like in that game, too, because that's an outdoor stadium, and it's getting cold. What do you think, Lonnie? What do you like? Or not
Jacoby
like?
Brissett.
You're going Jacoby? Buffalo. Who's he playing?
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Jacoby's been another one of those kind of like –
he's pretty consistent.
He's been like in the Davis Mills kind of conversation, 8 to 10. But okay, Jacoby Brissett looking to solidify his benching against the Bills with Deshaun Watson coming back. He could ball out.
Buffalo.
He could ball out though, man, knowing that this is his last chance. This could be it. Okay.
I saw a statistic during that game. I don't think Jacoby was set through more than like 12 passes over 6 yards or something crazy like that.
It's not great. That's a good pick. Well, let's see. Boy, you guys are leaving Zach Wilson against New England down there. I know Zach Wilson did play well, I think, in the last game. What's his? Yeah, he's 10, 12. He's got coming off a bye. What's that?
I said he could pop, man.
He could pop. Like, I'm gonna take Matt Ryan against Philadelphia, against these Eagles that are playing tonight. I think Matt Ryan is not gonna be able to get it. I think he's gonna get sacked a lot in that game. I think he's gonna fall back to earth and be reminded of why he was benched. So, all right, seems a good
perfect trap game, bro.
Tonight, I think, is actually a trap game. A little bit of a trap game for the Eagles, who look, you know, not great against Houston. This is a division game. Do you guys need anything for tonight? I know what you need, Lonnie, because it is the opposite of what I need. That's how you're done.
Yeah, I need you to not score 100 points tonight.
90 points. I only need 90 points. I have a 10% chance. I need 90 points, but
poor guys.
I got Jalen Hurts. I got AJ Brown. I got Devontae Smith. And I have the kicker, Jake Elliott.
Oof.
90 points is
a lot on this game, dude.
It's totally feasible in this one. If Jalen Hurts runs for a lot of yards and then throws a few touchdowns to those guys, 90 points is totally. I need a couple big plays probably too. I need at least one or two big play touchdowns to those guys.
And you need the game script to force Philly to keep playing. So you need Washington to score as well.
I do. Yeah, I know. I definitely do need that. But Washington's been playing tough. They've been scrappy, and this is a division game. So I got hopes for that. Also, Philly's looking like they kind of look like they just want to pound everybody into the ground. I don't know if you're going to see them let up a whole lot against their division rival, because at some point I think point total comes into it as a tiebreaker. So, all right, who you guys got tonight? You all on Philly?
Yeah, Philly for sure.
Philly, yeah. All right, and DraftKings, you guys pick your captains in DraftKings. Vital, did you pick one yet?
I didn't send it, but I have Hurts. Yeah,
Hurts. You got Hurts too. I took AJ Brown. I just like the he's been so hot, and receivers get more points than quarterbacks. So interesting. You guys are on, you're both on Hurts. I'm on Brown. I played Hurts also, but my captain is AJ Brown. So that should be good. All right. What else you guys, what do you guys got coming up this week? Any comedy shows you want to promote?
Nothing.
Back at Villain Theater this Friday.
Back at Villain. Awesome. All right. Early show or late show?
Late show. 9:30.
9:30. Nice. I'm doing Bay 13 down in Miami on Wednesday night. So are you going to be there, Lonnie?
I might be there. I just have to be at work at 7 in the morning the next day. So
gotcha. That's not it's not a super late show though, right? That's not one.
No, it's not a late show. And it's also right by my house and it's Aaron. So
yeah,
almost like the show.
Cool. Cool. All right. Hopefully I'll see you there. All right. For anybody who listens and watches, thank you guys. Thank you. Follow, like, subscribe, watch us on YouTube any Monday nights, as long as Monday Night Football is going on. And we should do a Thanksgiving special, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We definitely should play DraftKings for Thanksgiving. We always do that. I don't know if we'll do if we have like a we do like a short Thanksgiving episode or not, depending on what you guys are doing. But yeah, thank you guys for listening, watching. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Spotify. All those good spots, and you can also watch us on YouTube as well. All right,
I guess
see you guys soon. All right.